shall my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Luke chapter 4. And it says in verse 1, And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, Jesus has just been baptized just before this. And the grammar here is that this is the language, and Jesus being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So that was his perpetual state in this moment. And then he goes to the place of battle and temptation, his time of fasting. And it says in verse 13, And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogue, was praised by all. And then it goes on, and it begins to describe Jesus' ministries and signs and wonders. I just think this is such an important thing for us to get down in our hearts, and so we keep coming at it from different angles and different layers. But the question that I asked was, is that when Jesus at the end there, it says that he went forth in the power of the Spirit, did Jesus' fasting cause him to receive something he didn't have before? Because we have no example until after that time of fasting and testing. People have a tendency to zero in on the testing, but it was a time of fasting in which he experienced testing. And then we have no example of Jesus moving in signs and wonders in any way before then, even though he had been baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him, remained on him. It's not until after this, it says, and he went forth in the power of the Spirit. And then Luke 4 talks about healings and signs and wonders. And so again, the question is, did Jesus attain something? Did he receive something new as a result of his fasting? And I would say adamantly, no, that's not true. Because it said he was already being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled means filled. Filled means you don't get more. You're filled with the Spirit. But what I believe what happened, obviously, is there was a release and a manifestation, but it was not of something new. It was something that he already possessed. It was just released as a result of the path, the fasting, and the battle. I shared this a little bit last night. That fasting and the spiritual disciplines aren't about you attaining new things. It's not a way of sort of somehow strong-arming God with your sincerity that moves him to emotionally give you things that he may have reluctantly not wanted to give you, but since you achieved a certain place of discipline and sacrifice, you're now going to get it. Because that's what we hear all the time. That's the way it's presented, particularly in the charismatic church, of which I'm square in the middle of. The body of Christ is that somehow, it's not just charismatic, but just the evangelical world, that you have to do these things so that you can get things that you didn't have before. And that's just not true. We come back to that place again in Colossians 2 that says, we have been made full in Christ. Have been, past tense, been made complete in Christ. We don't attain anything by anything we go through. Jesus attained everything for us by what he went through on the cross. And the moment you're born again, you have it all because you have him. Christ is all and he's in all. But what the spiritual disciplines are about, we've said this before, they're like treasure hunts. Is that they're all about discovery. And seeing in new ways, discovering new things, and seeing new things that are already yours so that you can begin to believe in new ways. And those things can be released in your life. There's a big difference. Because one comes from a place of, let's just say, fasting, then it comes from a place of absolute childlike joy that I own this big treasure house and I want to go in there and pay whatever price. I have to lay aside my schedule. I don't have time to eat. I want to go in there and find out everything. I want to find out new stuff that's mine so that I can experience it and manifest it. That's a totally different mindset than one that goes into it begrudgingly. But this is what you have to do. This is just the part you have to go through. This is just the spiritual calisthenics that it takes. And in the end, God will say, "Uncle," and he'll give up the breakthrough that I've been asking for, that I've now proved myself sincere enough for. You don't break through into attainment. You break through into seeing. You break through into discovering. You break through into new levels of believing. You don't get anything more. You just begin to see more and believe more. There's a big difference in that because I've done them both ways. I've lived long enough now in the Lord for these 42 years that I've done them both ways. And trying to strong-arm God, it's just like legalism, this formula that somehow I finally push him far enough where he goes, okay, you deserve it. And instead of starting off with knowing that I've got it, but the search is part of the joy of it because we do the search together. It's like out of love thing. So it's this great discovery thing. There's a big difference in that. This is what, in Philippians 3, one of my favorite places. So I'm going to read it to you the way the grammar's written, the words, because the words can be, he uses the word attain here, but the word attain here and the word obtain, both of them, one means to take, the other one means to violently take. In other words, to really take hold of it. So it doesn't mean about getting something or receiving. It's about taking something that you already received. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may experience the wonders of resurrection life. Not that I have already taken it," he says obtain it, taken it, "or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold or apprehend that for which I was laid hold of or apprehended in Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having yet taken it, seized it, but forgetting what's behind, I reach forward and go ahead, pressing on to the prize." And what really hit me about that scripture is that when you read that scripture, what it really says is that Jesus laid hold of me. He did the laying hold of first. He seized me. He apprehended me. And I'm now one with him. My walk now is apprehending that for which I've already been apprehended. It's not trying to get him to come to me. He said, "I got you." Now, one of the words, the first word attain means, he says, not that I have attained it yet. It's the word to take, but it has the idea of turning around and facing. See what apprehended you. So it's as if you're walking down this place and somebody comes and grabs you and holds you and you want to turn around and see who it is that's got you. Not so you can get them. You already got. You just want to find out what's going on so you can enter into it. You understand what I'm saying? That's the idea. Apprehending, taking hold, seizing that which has already seized you. I'm so glad I don't have to talk God out of stuff, into stuff. I don't have to convince him that I deserve to be blessed. I'm blessed because Jesus deserved it and deserves it, and I'm in him. It's really that simple. And in this season of Lent, which is a glorious season, my favorite, It is a time when we promote more fasting, give people kind of in the groove of fasting again as a lifestyle. But again, it's not trying to apprehend something that you don't have. It's apprehending what's already apprehended you. And so that's a lot more fun. It's a treasure hunt. Not a treasure hunt of a treasure that you don't have, but a treasure you've been given. Now you just simply keep going to that treasure room and exploring. It's an exploration of the treasure ship that discovered you, that's already yours. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.